You can have all the Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio podcast with our new app. Just search your app store, Apple, Android, Kindle. We don't care what you use. Search the app store for Explorations Early Learning. Download the app. Give it a try. All right. Welcome to another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studios with Lisa Murphy.
Hello.
Tasha Johnson.
Aloha.
And ET engineer Tiffany.
That's me.
And we're back talking more class rules, and we're going with stupid rules. That's rules with a Z, stupid with two O's, if you're taking notes at home. And so the whole thing is we're going to start the series on class rules, and at least put out the call for the stupid rules that people have to deal with out in their programs. And there's a lot of them out there. So here we go, part two of this episode. We went through 12 in the last one. Where are we starting this time, Lisa?
Number one, nothing at all was allowed on the ceiling or anything that gets blown by the air conditioning because the new security alarm was too sensitive. So if you hung anything up, nothing from the ceiling and nothing in the way of the vents.
That would move.
No movement.
No motion. Well, I think it's much better to alter the way you decorate the room because of the electronics instead of creating an environment that meets the needs of the children. So that makes sense.
Isn't there a way to adjust the sensitivity on the alarm also? A dial?
Yeah.
Having a light breeze enter the room.
Well, yeah, what if a really tall person came in? I don't know how tall their ceilings fall, but they might just... What, do they get sent the bill then? Because they sent it off.
Maybe that means just no. I mean, well, never mind.
That's just, and I mean, you don't need to hang anything from the ceiling. You don't need to hang stuff that blows. But could we create environments that take the needs and interests of the children first? Make them kind of number one. That would just seem to be a thing.
Number two, I'm sure everybody's heard that you're only allowed to go up the things. But this one was tricky because she said that they were only allowed to go up the structures, the rock wall, and up the tires. And you can only go down the slide. So, of course, which led us to inquire, how does one
get down
from those things?
And how do you go down the slide if you can't go up
the steps? I know.
So you go up the rock wall and then
there must be a slide to come back down.
I think probably you have to stand there until your parent comes to get you and lifts you off
because
for liability reasons you couldn't have a staff person lift you off because they'd be liable if they dropped you. And so you climb up the rock wall, and I'm guessing it's probably 36 inches at most, and then you're at the top of that, and then you just got to stand there on a little platform waiting for mommy and daddy to show up.
Unless gravity got really strong
and pulled you down, or your will, and you just jumped.
Yeah, that couldn't be allowed. Jumping has to be against the rules. Now people, here's the deal. Children are not only wired to climb, there seems to be some sort of innate drive to do this because that climbing and then the jumping that often follows it is kind of something we're wired for, and it does do a lot to build those core muscles. And so we need to not only be encouraged, allowing this kind of stuff, we need to be encouraging it.
Yep.
What happens when a kid climbs up 3/4 of the way and panics?
They have to stay there. You call the parent then?
Yeah, we used to side coach and teach them how to come down, but we found that the only kids who typically would do that initially were the kids who had been lifted to equipment, but the kids whose bodies kind of regulated and ability and side coaching from the adults didn't get into that situation.
Well, yes, I'm saying what happens if you're not allowed to go down the rock wall? and you get stuck three quarters.
Oh, yeah. Well, you then just, you have to stay there until your mama comes.
Yeah.
Maybe there's an emergency.
And I mean, if this is like
call and
if this is like at 8:15 in the morning, that's gonna you're gonna have to hold on tight day. To those rocks.
Long day.
Good upper body rock. Strength by the end of the day.
Yeah. But then you could throw something that went in front of the air vent, and then maybe the alarm.
The alarm would go off, and somebody come and rescue you.
Yeah.
I think health and safety wise, and you know, I think they need to maybe probably install a urinal halfway up the rock wall, just in case kids get stuck there too.
Along with emergency snacks.
Yeah. There should be a plastic bag of plastic. No, they could choke. A mesh bag of gummy.
No. They could choke. And plus, that's sugar.
They're just going to have to starve.
Maybe you could just tape.
Go thirsty.
You could tape some goldfish to their forehead as they're heading up the.
No, to the wall.
Yeah.
Well, each level nibble, you get
nibble,
to,
you get a snack. Like you just play in a video game. Play, if you get to the next level, you get a snack.
One of those water bottles you put in animal cages. They just kind of.
Yeah, not for a drink. And you could take, they've got that spray adhesive you can spray on. You just spray that and then throw the bag of goldfish at the wall and they can nibble as they go up. Gosh. I think that,
happened? Where did this come from?
Who decided this needed to be a thing?
And why? And interesting, the same person who posted that one said that there were two proposed rules that ended up fortunately getting shut down, which was that nobody was allowed to pick up the children and children were not allowed to pick up the bugs. But somebody stepped in and said, you know what, enough is enough.
Well, and God forbid a child that's holding a bug needs to be picked up.
Oh, my God. Oh. Nope, sorry. Or a child got stuck on the slide. You know, that's probably actually where this being shut down came from, was that somebody brought up what you said. If a kid gets halfway up and now you're saying I'm not allowed to pick up the child, so then what happens? That's ridiculous. A kid with a bug stuck on the rock wall, you're there forever.
Oh, man, yeah, they went up. The bug is there. The bug needs help getting down. The child goes up to rescue the bug, and then they're stuck there until mommy and daddy come to rescue them. It's a horrible day at preschool when that happens.
Number four, the children's personal stuff, their items, couldn't touch due to germ transfer being the rationale, yet they share dress-up clothes all day and crawl all over each other. My jacket can't touch your jacket.
Do the human beings that make up these rules, do they actually ever step back and look at the incongruity in the rules that they're creating?
If they did, this wouldn't be episode number two. And soon to be morphing into number three based on the extra comments.
And so do you think the way this is going to evolve is that they're going to decide, hey, you know what? Kids share the dress-up clothes and they're clawing all over each other all day. Maybe we shouldn't freak out so much about their coats. Or is it going to go the other way where, hey, they are sharing the dress-up clothes, so we need individualized dress-up clothes and no touching?
Rid of the dress-up clothes.
Well, I've heard
which
that.
Way is, yeah. Which way is the trend moving?
We're not sure. Depends on where you are.
Might get lice. Lice.
Yeah, that's what I was heading for. I mean, yeah, that. But you deal with it and move on.
Do children's things get to touch it at your program, Tiffany?
Yes.
Okay, well, there
Good.
We have it.
See? done.
And how's your immunity system, immune system?
Excellent.
Awesome.
I'm sorry, I'm getting distracted by, and in the last episode we talked about how you weren't allowed to wear the, or use the toilet paper tubes. What has morphed on the Facebook is an entirely long thread in response to the health department tested toilet paper and found traces of feces. So they have every right to say no to using toilet paper tubes. And a lady said, well, the kids could probably also be tested and have traces of feces.
Oh yeah, right.
Did they also put in the reports about your telephones?
Well, and everything does. And she said toothbrushes,
so much grosser
too.
Than toilet paper,
yeah,
too.
Yes.
Well, even at the bottom of your purses, that's,
when you start, it's like that rabbit hole, right? You start delving into it, and with each layer, you just get more like crazy, 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 crazy.
Yeah, I got no problem with a little bit of feces now and then. Feces.
Fishes. Yeah. One rule was that the teachers had to wear business casual.
Business casual attire required. What's business casual? Well,
they didn't define it.
Tiffany, bring that up. What's business casual?
Well,
or do you know?
I mean,
off the top of your head.
It's surely not what I'm wearing right now.
I feel like it's
pretty damn casual.
It's an LL Bean catalog.
There you go.
Khaki pants and a polo shirt.
On Fridays we get to wear jeans.
Dress down day.
Yeah.
And so this has got to be frustrating because the work of early learning tends to be messy, and you often find yourself covered in the bodily fluids,
feces,
or solids that come off of other human beings. And so this kind of dress code, we've talked about it before.
Oh, dress codes,
it's absolutely not appropriate for the work that we're doing.
My favorite comeback was always, did you increase their salaries to coincide to cover the cost of the new clothes
to
make them wear?
I mean, you might as well ask them to wear ball gowns and tuxedos.
But that, you know, that would be actually fun because you could go to like Salvation Army and like totally like swing it the other way and have it be like your little cosplay thing and show up like, you know, Ariel and not Ariel. But,
did you see Tiffany's face brighten up with that one?
Well, because I'm kind of sitting at an angle because I'm reading the signs. And no, I didn't. I feel like I'm playing in a sandbox my feet are not allowed to touch the sand, but I have to turn to look at things.
She was like, cosplay?
That would actually be awesome. Like I would go to the Salvation Army, I would buy all the prom dresses that get turned in and I'd show up every day with that on and I just wouldn't care at all.
Powder blue tuxedos with the ruffles.
That'd
be good times. Or something.
Oh, yeah. This was probably my personal favorite of this last trolling of the Facebook rules. If it looks like rain, you're not allowed to go outside.
All right, well,
So you stay inside daily.
You know, if
clearly,
that...
Right?
I never leave the house. We don't even make it to school.
If you're in the Southwest, if you're in LA, okay, maybe that doesn't sway your role too much. But if you're in Portland or Seattle...
That'd be a little tricky.
That cuts into the outside play time quite a bit,
and
because
it's beautiful up that way,
even so. On a beautiful day, it looks like it's going to rain.
Those are the most fun days when the puddles are so big they go over the top of the boots. It's great.
And so,
this is just ridiculous. You know, I think I might get hit by a bus today, so I'm not going to go downtown.
Yeah, there's the possibility of that happening.
There's
school buses that stop by our house, so don't go out.
Don't go outside.
Yeah,
in
be
the
careful.
Morning or in the afternoon.
The same person who said if it looks like rain, they're not allowed to go outside is they can't use food as art, which is pretty common, and no glitter, and they were not allowed to mention any holidays at any time, which I would like.
Not allowed to mention.
Celebrating them versus mentioning them.
Wow.
No birthday for you.
No.
Oh, okay.
That's a holiday. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hanukkah exists.
Yeah, right.
Oh, sorry, we have to write you up. I mean, how does that...
Was it Jehovah's Witness preschool?
Well, it could have been, and fair enough, right? Oh, give him something else to play with.
The strip of Velcro. Gone.
Give him a rubber band. It could have been. I don't know. You know, when you do these kinds of things, we're you know, you're seeing the slice of the pie. Because I also know that there's some schools that, you know, we might be just reading this, interpreting this incorrectly. There's some schools that just don't do holidays because they realize that, you know, if you start celebrating holidays, you can get down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And before you do it, you know, you're just all you're doing all day is holiday stuff that has no context with the kids' lives.
And,
right?
And we've recorded on that, but the idea that you can't mention them just seems
silly.
And you know that they celebrated holidays, and then one parent came in and had a hissy fit about something, being offended because we're so easily offended as a culture, and it was
correct.
Just easier to ban all discussion, the existence of.
But can you just see it? I mean, in the classroom, nope, you're not allowed to talk about that. Now the kids just all day is gonna be like Easter, 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 Easter,
yeah,
Easter. What are you gonna do? Put me in timeout.
The poor kid that comes in talking about their Halloween costume and three staff jump on them.
Right.
Muzzle, ball gag, whatever it is. Throw.
That's crazy.
Throwing them into the closet because they, I mean, yeah, what's the punishment for this solitary confinement? Does that mean the staff can't talk about it or the kids can't?
Yeah, I'm guessing it was probably the staff.
You said Christmas, go to timeout.
So you couldn't cross the, you know, what you were doing at home life and bring it into the classroom?
Yeah, my guess is that this was a knee-jerk policy in response to that one family that tends to get their way and drive policy. Shoes on at all times. We talked about that one. That's just so ridiculous. This one particular program got written up and fined.
What?
Written up and fined for having scissors because upon investigating, the particular brand of scissors that they had were for ages 6 and up. So they took away the real scissors, gave them plastic ones, which of course cut absolutely nothing. So the children got frustrated, stopped using scissors. And then when the kids all went on to go get assessed for kindergarten, the parents came back and said, how come they can't cut?
Of course. Wow. Of course that's the way it happened.
And they got fined for that?
Fined for having the scissors.
Don't tell anyone about the hand saws on our playground.
Right? Yeah.
And so when it comes to working with tools, if we want kids to work with tools, we need to give them the tools that actually work.
And sit there with them while they're using them, right? Initially.
Yeah, well, until you
know that they can use it.
Whoever wrote that is just like pissing with us, right?
For ages 6 that's and up. I'm sure that is...
Yeah, but I mean, then you start applying that to everything.
Yeah.
I would prefer to live in a world where somebody's just messing on us with that because I don't want to live in a world where that's a real thing.
So there's a sketch comedy thing that I like to watch that's called Studio C. I don't know if you've ever seen it or heard of it, but there's a 3-4 minute sketch they do about a bad family game night where like the family's playing a game and then all of a sudden these people like appear and they're like, that game clearly says it's for ages 10 and up. How old are you? I'm 9. Go. You know, that's hilarious. Yeah. But that's exactly what that is. That's what that is.
And the manufacturer put 6 and up on the scissor pack because they're trying to protect...
Oh my God, it's the one that actually, sorry, well, I just Googled it. That's the episode that popped right to the top.
What's it called?
It's called Bad Family Game Night Studio C on YouTube.
The company's trying to protect their ass by putting 6 and up on the scissors because they don't want to get sued. And then whoever, the licensing person, doesn't want to get in trouble. So they say 6 and so they...
Goes back to something we've talked about numerous times and then also in the last couple of episodes is that contradictory factor, right? Like you've got group A telling you this, you've got group B telling you this, and they're canceling each other out. You know, some of the states that where you're required to, you know, work towards being aligned, like with Eckers and stuff like that. And actually, I'll just speak for my example. So in the state of New York, you don't have to be aligned, but they highly recommend you like being aligned with that stuff. So Eckers is telling you that you need to have, you know, other things in your sensory tub, but then licensing is saying you're not allowed to have XYZ in your sense. And you're like, but yet licensing is telling you that you need to be aligned with Eckers. You're like, you guys need to sit down and have a freaking conversation.
Mm-hmm. Rah! All right. So the scissors thing, we got to pull this apart a little bit more. You're working on a program. Now, do you think the actual regulation in this location, the actual law, says anything about 6 and up? It says something about age appropriate or something like that, probably. Maybe on a good day.
I think this is an example of your licensor interpreting the regs, not enforcing them. So her interpretation of some kind of safety thing is that this tool that you have here is not designed for this age group, so you're in violation.
Okay, so Lisa, what happens in your program? You're a caregiver. You're listening to this episode, and next week your licensor walks in and does and say, "Oh, metal scissors. Those are for 6 and up. I read the patent for that pair of scissors, and they're specifically designed for children of 6 and up because children younger than that are not physiologically developed enough to use this particular brand of scissors. We cannot have these scissors in this program." Licensor comes in and says something along those lines. What do you, as a mindful, thoughtful, engaged practitioner, how do you respond to that?
I would respond by saying it sounds as though you're concerned about these particular children using this particular tool here in the setting. Why don't you come sit down for a minute and I'll show you how skilled these children are in using this particular tool. Come sit. Come join us. Children, come on over. Let's show Miss how we use our scissors.
Well, I would love to come and watch you, the children, use the scissors, but I have my clipboard so firmly stuck up my
If you don't trust that I can handle myself and the children using tools that we know children need to develop an ability to use, then it sounds like we need to have a different conversation.
Yeah. And I think another good question, very honest question to ask in the situation is, can you show me in writing where it says blah, 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 that
what
I can't
page
use this
is it
tool?
On?
And the reality is they're going to have a hard time doing that. And if you go and get dinged by licensing for this anyway,
maybe it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's worth it. And I don't know of any states that don't have some sort of appeals process when this kind of stuff happens. We roll over way too easy with this kind of stuff. And again, it's the easy thing to do and you can move on with your day. And we hear it all the time. Well, we don't want to piss them off because we got to live with them.
But even look at this here. So we're rolling over to appease the person in the room right now, mm-hmm. right? So we're not doing this. But then in 6 months, we're going to have to roll over and be accountable to that because we all know darn well that children need to do it. So now we've got parents upset that we haven't been doing anything. So we are so wishy-washy about what we think we believe in that we're attempting to keep everybody happy. And then we find ourselves back in a situation of compromising best practice in an effort to keep everybody happy. But usually those are people who aren't even ever in the room.
Yeah. Wishying and washying right here now in the moment might move things forward from this moment for you fairly quickly and easily. But we've always got to be paying attention to that 6 months or a year down the road. And our profession, slowly, incrementally, we lose ground as professionals when we allow this kind of stuff to stand in our environments when we could have stood up and pushed back against it a little bit, huh?
What are we doing? Why are we doing it? And who is it for?
Breathe. What else we got on the list?
I'm going to bite this microphone. They were not allowed to apply sunscreen because it was considered medicine.
Oh, all that.
We're not allowed to apply sunscreen.
The sun never comes out in Portland. You don't. Yeah, why would you have sunscreen?
Don't have to worry about
it. Why would you ever have sunscreen? Why would you?
Oh no, you are. But it's like very. It's so hard to do. I don't do it because I'm allergic to it. But to do it, you have to like each child has their own tube of sunscreen, and you sign the thing, and then you write what time you put it on. That annoys the crap out of me.
I think.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of sunscreen anyway. I think it's a little bit.
Maybe the fact that somebody is considering sunscreen medicine is what we can focus on.
Well, yeah, if it's that,
be a little,
you know what? Yeah, I think so. If it's that prescription sunscreen for the albino triplets that you enrolled in your program, okay, I can understand that. But the other thing is there are programs doling out medicine on a regular basis. I mean, you got programs where there's half a dozen kids lining up twice a day to get their Ritalin or whatever it is, and we're freaking the hell out about sunscreen. It just seems that maybe we need to see the FD a little bit now.
See the FD and then sunscreen.
Where do you draw the line about that then? Soap? Do we have to? Is soap a medicine?
Well, yeah, that comes then under that keep out of the reach of children nonsense that we're not allowed to use A because it says keep out of the reach of children. Right? But what? Show me what doesn't. Toothpaste does, you know?
Yeah.
Soap. Ugh. Is soap medicine? Medicinal. Whiskey is medicinal. Probably shouldn't.
Yes. Yeah, you better believe it is. Yeah. You know what? Time-wise, let's do one more, and we'll come back to the rest of these
Oh, this one was interesting. The tattooed teachers had to cover their tattoos with Band-Aids, which turned into an issue because the children started thinking that the teachers had owies all the time on their arms.
Yeah, what's wrong with Miss Sally? She's not healing. Is she is she cutting herself?
She said the girl the woman who posted it said that the concern of being hurt was more distracting than any tattoo.
Any tattoo would be. Yeah, I mean, does Miss Sally have some sort of immune deficiency kind of thing? What's going on with her? She's never healing, and I'm kind of. Is there something wrong with her white blood cell count? Poor kids.
Do 18.
Okay, one more, 18. Food from a store.
You're only allowed to say that food came from a store.
This is the rule in a program in the world that apparently when children ask where'd this come from? A store. So that hamburger didn't come from a cow and the bacon didn't come from a pig and the chicken didn't come from a chicken. It came from a store. Now, I live in a little state called Iowa where a lot of... A lot of your food comes from Iowa, and there's a lot of farmers in this state and other states that would kick your ass if you weren't brave enough to say that your food came from a hardworking farmer, at least. So what does this teach anybody about reality?
And where did it come from?
Yeah.
Who got mad? Who was violated?
Tiffany.
Listeners, picture Lisa with her hands high above her head.
Like a Vita.
Raising her hands to the heavens.
It just makes me crazy.
And so this is because people don't want to have hard conversations about the pretty cow had to die so you could
faster.
Have...
It's faster, quicker, and easier.
I'm sorry, we can't explain to you how we nuggetize chickens. Because that's too icky, and so food comes from a store. That's
actually, you know, if you want to push it, that's a little insulting.
Well, yeah.
Probably a lot insulting.
I mean...
Like, why would you say that? Why would you not just say the truth?
Yeah. I mean, if where do babies come from? The store. I'm all with that. But the food thing...
Store or stork?
I know, I'm trying to... Store, the baby you go store? Down the aisle C and pick out
B,
which one.
Aisle B for baby.
Oh, B, I'm sorry.
How See many for kids child? Also heard you say, like, the store, and they were like, oh, yeah? You messing with me?
Well, yeah.
Is this a game we play now?
Yeah, because kids are smart enough, a lot of them, to know when you're screwing with them and not being straight too. With them. And yeah, yeah.
You asked
so that's
a question, but I'm not going to take the time like to answer that fully for you.
Yeah, it's reminding me a little out of context about the time that I asked a kid what color he was using at the easel, and then he looked at me and he's like, hey, guys, Miss Lisa doesn't know her colors. Which is my quick and dirty rationale as to why you should not be asking questions that you know the answers to.
Yeah.
And why would you not answer them truthfully?
And what about if a teacher, instead of saying the store, said, I don't know? Where does food come from?
I don't know.
I'm not really
Man.
Sure.
Man. Kid is like, man, my teacher's kind of dumb.
Yeah, comes from Trader Joe's. Comes from Whole Foods.
Yeah.
Where's bacon come from? Whole Foods. Oh, okay. I don't know. So,
well, and if you say store, can you specifically name which store? Do you just have to say a store?
A store, yeah.
Oh, no, maybe they got a sponsorship, so they have to name the specific store.
Maybe. Mm-hmm.
Bobby Joe's Preschool, sponsored by Trader Joe's. Where's... Miss Sally, where's bacon come from? It comes from Trader Joe's. Here's a coupon.
But you know what scenario is playing out in my head is if the teacher says the store and the kid's like, well, actually, no, it comes from like where do you take that? Like you're being totally called to the carpet by a 4-year-old. What are you gonna stick to the script?
Yeah, my grandma says. Yeah. Do you run out of?
What about the kid who lives on a farm, for crying out loud?
What happens in this program, in this specific program where this happens? They issue all the staff flashbangs, those smoke grenade things that like SWAT teams use, and so in those situations, you just throw the thing. There's the smoke. There's the bang, and then the smoke clears and you're gone, and you don't have to deal with the
meanwhile,
response.
Meanwhile, the teachers stop dropping and rolling in the air underneath.
Teacher's like a ninja into the cloakroom or something, and cloakrooms. That was
the thing. I was going to say, what's a cloakroom?
Didn't you have
a cloakroom?
Yes,
back in the day.
Oh, many of our listeners.
Yeah, okay. back in the day, that's not a thing.
It's where I hang my wizard robes. Yeah.
Exactly.
When you go to cosplay.
Of course you do, Hermione. All right, it's time to wrap this episode up. We've got at least one more episode with crazy
stupid rules.
From programs from the Facebook. So we'll be back with that sometime. Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production. Hey, you want to support all the Upstairs Studio podcasts? It's as simple as this. Use our Amazon link when you shop Amazon. We get a small percentage of what you spend. You don't pay any extra. You get your stuff from Amazon. Everybody wins. Where do you find the link? Well, it's on the Explorations Early Learning app. You can find it on the Explorations Early Learning website. If you don't find it in those places, just get a hold of Jeff on Facebook or via email, and he'll hand deliver it to your inbox. Thanks for your support. Bye-bye.